You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Welcome to the program that puts his money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We're going to Mexico City this evening. Shh, don't tell Donald Trump. There's an NFL game at Azteca Stadium tonight. Over 100,000 people are going to be in the building, and I'm assuming that most of them are going to be Oakland Raider fans. Man, the Raiders are just badass and popular wherever they go, especially right now, considering they are a 7-2 football team. We're going to break it down with Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com. Steve Merrill will join us. Jimmy Johnson, victorious, wins the chase for the Cup. He is the NASCAR champion for a record-tying seventh time, man. I said, Jimmy Johnson's just one more championship away from being, you know, the greatest driver of all time, essentially. So we're going to hit that with Merrill. We'll hit some NBA, some college basketball, of course, going on all day right now. We got all those tournaments going on in Hawaii. We got tournaments going on in Brooklyn. We got tournaments everywhere. I think there's a tournament in, like, Bowling Green, Ohio today, literally and figuratively. We can't get to every game, obviously. And I don't know, man. My confidence is a little rattled after yesterday, to be honest with you. Or not really yesterday. Over the last couple of weeks. So I look at the board tonight, and I'm like, man, I don't know. Maybe, I guess. I'm the prop king, man. I kill the props. Killed the props last night in a Sunday nighter. I look at the props for tonight's Monday nighter, and I'm like, I don't know. That's kind of high. That's kind of low. I don't really know. It's one of those deals. So we got Steve Merrill to help us break it down. Jason Braddock will join us from Houston, Texas. Jason Braddock, nobody covers the Texans like Jason does. So we'll get the Texans perspective of this football game. And, oh, yeah, we got another Hall of Famer, except this time it's not a Pro Football Hall of Famer. It's a broadcast Hall of Famer. Dick Stockton will join us on the program in a couple of moments. Dick Stockton, we'll run the gauntlet with Dick. We'll talk broadcasting. We'll talk NFL football, maybe a little NBA basketball as well. Ton of stuff to get to with the great Mr. Dick Stockton. So let's start off the program like we do every Monday, as it's time for Who Ruined Your Sunday? Now let's start off by stating that, you know who ruined my Sunday? Me. That's who ruined my Sunday. Me. And I almost feel hypocritical for what I'm about to do and start ripping these teams when I don't really know. Is it their fault? Is it their fault? Is it the LA Rams' fault that they blow a 10-0 lead with 4 minutes to go? Is it their fault or is it my fault for actually putting money down on the LA Rams? Like real money too. Like, you know, maybe some people are like rich and it doesn't matter, but if I lose $600 on an LA Ram game after, I'm like, what the hell did I put $600 on the LA Rams for? Why would I do that? How does that make sense? In what freaking world? Like, what sane, smart person bets on Jeff Fisher to win a football game? As Jeff Fisher is now tied for second in NFL history for the most losses. All right? He's only 4 games away from being the losingest coach in all-time history. So he doesn't, I don't know, is he the losingest coach? He doesn't have the lowest winning percentage. But the deal is, normally, you know, yeah, you're going to rack up losses you've been around for a while. Like, who's the losingest coach in NFL history? You know, trick question. It's Dan Reeves. Whatever, man. Dan Reeves coached in the NFL for like 40 years or something, all right? Like, Dan Reeves, like, played for the Cowboys, coached for the Cowboys, was an assistant. Like, Dan Reeves got, like, 9 Super Bowl rings lying around and stuff. Not as a head coach. But, you know, he's been around forever. The guy's been to multiple Super Bowls. You know, Tom Landry. Jeff Fisher just tied Tom Landry. Landry's a multiple Super Bowl champion. Landry's a freaking legend. You know what's crazy about this? Jeff Fisher. He managed to do this. So he's got 162 career losses. It took Tom Landry 418 games to do this. It took Fisher like what, 336 or something like that? It's freaking ridiculous. Like, figure out a way to win a game instead of yelling at people on Hard Knocks and making yourself look like a big man. I'm not here to be 7-9. No, you're there to be 6-10. You know, Goff did everything that he had to freaking do, but you screwed it up. You can't blame the players. At some point, you got to push the kids past the finish line, coach, and you just couldn't do it. I don't say this often because I don't bet on these jerk-offs very often, but the L.A. Rams ruined my Sunday. All right, so this next one, well, this, you know, I've got big problems. Like, that's, I got big personal problems here. Like, how can I stand here and rip the Green Bay Packers for ruining my Sunday when they've ruined every Sunday? And yet, there I am, taking the Green Bay Packers again. Like, I'm on the list. I'm as bit of, every bit of as a loser as Mike McCarthy is. Like, seriously. You know, like, I don't even know where to start here with the Green Bay Packers. You're freaking terrible, all right? But I'm like Donald Trump, like, on Twitter. I can't resist. Yeah, but you're the president now. Nah, still, let me rip the cast of Hamilton. Let me let the world know I'm watching Saturday Night Live and I don't like it. Well, I watched it too and I didn't like it, but for different reasons, Donald. You're the president now, dude. You're going to stop tweeting everybody every time. Like, you respond more angrily than I do, all right? And you got major problems. And I've got major problems because I'm betting on the Green Bay freaking Packers. Like, seriously. Betting on the Green Bay Packers and expecting them to win is like going into a record store, buying a disc, like a Maroon 5 disc, going home, putting it in, listening to Maroon 5 and going, oh, wow, this really sucks. Oh, well, yeah, what a shock. What a shock that Maroon 5 freaking sucks. You know, it's an abomination, man. It's an absolute abomination what's going on with the Green Bay Packers. And McCarthy, you can tell everybody what a successful freaking coach you are. You're a joke. You're a bigger joke than Kanye West's tour is, which he just canceled, incidentally, due to exhaustion. Exhaustion and saying stupid things. We're all exhausted too, Kanye. You know you got problems, man, when you're in a relationship with Kim Kardashian and she's the freaking stable one, all right? That's like how whack Kanye is. But at this point, why not just sign him to play linebacker for the Green Bay Packers? Well, put him in the defensive backfield. He'd be as good as the stiffs that you guys have back there. The Green Bay Packers show as much resistance on defense as Khloe Kardashian does at an NBA after party. All right? It's freaking ridiculous, man, at this point in time. Okay, at what point are you guys going to make a damn play? I know you're a successful coach. When, McCarthy? When were you a successful coach? I'm an idiot for not just stacking whoever the hell's playing the Green Bay Packers on DraftKings and Millionaire Maker lineups. Hey, who wants to be a millionaire? I know I do. Well, just take whatever quarterback is throwing the ball against the Green Bay Packers. You suck. You've ruined my freaking Sunday again and again. But it's me. It's me. Like, after the show is over, I don't know. Like, I either jump off a balcony, but I'd probably not kill myself, just like break my leg or something like that. Either check into a mental institution, which I'm considering. See, rob a bank, or I don't know, man, go to a church and just like pray. Just like pray over and over. I could go on and on about who else ruined my Sunday. You know, the Edmonton Eskimos ruined my Sunday. Little CFL playoff action. Oh, it's a big snowstorm and threw your offense for a loop. Your name is the Eskimos. You are the Eskimos. Like, forget, you're lucky that you guys have gotten away with being called the Eskimos without people bitching about it. Only because you don't have a racist-looking Eskimo on your helmet like the Redskins do. But, you know, now you're really going to offend the Eskimos by sucking so hard. Your name is the Eskimos. You should be able to play in snow, you jackasses. And we'll wrap it up, because I go on and on and on here. We'll wrap it up, though, with the National Football League as a whole. You ruined my Sunday as a complete whole. We did very well on Saturday with the college games, but then we got a bunch of jackass kickers that can't make an extra point. Like, what's the deal? Like, it's windy. Oh, it's windy. Yeah, because then no one's ever played football in the wind before. Why do they move the extra points back anyways? Did anybody ever watch a game? You watch college football now? You watch college football? Do you ever say to yourself, oh, you know what? These extra points are too easy. It's already hard enough to win a bet as it is, all right? Listen, here's a tip, Goodell. The only people watching your boring-ass corrupt league right now are fantasy players and degenerate gamblers like me. So stop pissing off fantasy players with your stupid calls and degenerate gamblers like me with your stupid rule changes. You ruined my Sunday. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions live on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Jason Braddock's going to join us. I don't know. He's on the radio in Houston. I don't know what station he's on. It's The Score? The Fan? Like every other freaking radio station out there? You're listening to The Score Radio Network. The Fan. The Fan. All right. What is he on? The Source. The Source for Sports. That's not bad. Sports Talk 790, baby. So, yeah, Braddock's good. Like, it's hard to keep up with Braddock. He's different networks all the time. But he's a big Houston Texans guy. Covers the Texans. All right, so he's going to cover the Texans with us on the show today. We got Dick Stockton. How cool is that? One of the best broadcasters ever. Dick Stockton's going to join us in a couple of moments. We got Steve Merrill coming up, but let's get to the sports guru videos. I should have pimped this harder over the weekend on Twitter, but we'll get to more videos later in the week, I'm sure. But let's start off with the crazy Aussie. I understand Mick Aussie finally figured out how to use sports guru. So what's the crazy Australian saying?
Hey, Morenci, I tell you who ruined my Sunday. Edmonton Eskimos. They got beaten by Ottawa in Ottawa. Oh, I can't believe that. And don't blame the snow. It snows here a lot in Edmonton. Ottawa. Oh, anyway, I tell you who else ruined my Sunday. The Calgary Stampeders absolutely smashed the BC Lions. Okay, I'll admit it. They're a better team. But I tell you what, I will be going for the Red Blacks in the Grey Cup. The Ottawa Redblacks to hopefully defeat the Calgary Stampeders. It probably won't happen there in Toronto. I'll tell you who else ruined my Sunday. The Chiefs, the Bengals, and the Cardinals. They ruined my Sunday pools ticket. So it was all CFL today, but love the NFL. Grey Cup next week. Denver Broncos are back, so hopefully next Sunday is better than today.
The one and only Mick Aussie was making a display every CFL team's jersey. He's bitching about the Edmonton Eskimos losing while he's wearing a BC Lions jersey. Then he picks up an Ottawa Red Black jersey. I'll be cheering for Ottawa in the Grey Cup next week. Yeah, the Eskimos, you guys suck, man. You're a disgrace to, like, the province of Alberta. You're a disgrace to the proud tradition that is the Edmonton Eskimos. And you're a disgrace to Eskimos everywhere. People are watching in their igloos, kicking holes in their igloos. Watching that crap. Let's bring in Steve Merrill. ProSportsInfo.com, one of the covers experts. What's up, Steve?
What's going on, Gabe?
We're doing all right, Steve. Well, I'm not in the best of mood, Steve. Every year, there's like a 2 or 3 week run where things just aren't going good. And I'm in the middle of that 2-3 week run right now. I got caught up in things. I'm betting too many games. I got to, I'm like the Democratic Party, Steve. I've got to take a step back and reassess my approach to things.
Yeah, it's all about diversification. I entered the week in a perfect 7-0 in basketball and then went like 2-5 in football, you know, so still like a winning week overall, but it leaves a bitter taste in your mouth because football is really down, but basketball was a perfect 7-0. You know, short-term things happen. It just shows the importance of taking that long-term perspective.
Yeah, no, you're more of a marathon guy than a sprint guy, and I forget about that. I get caught up in not just the sprints, but like the mini sprints. And like I'm fighting with people, like the spectators on the side, like a marathon, Steve. I'm caught up in the middle of it. All right, so we got to be quick because we got Dick Stockton coming up. But Jimmy Johnson wins his 7th championship. Joey Logano and Carl Edwards crashed with 10 laps to go. High drama at Homestead. But it sucks. It's going head-to-head with the NFL. But nevertheless, Jimmy wins for the 7th time.
Yeah, and I actually, on Friday I was saying it was really wide open. I didn't really have a strong pick. But after looking at the practice speeds on Saturday, Carl Edwards was definitely the guy to beat. And Jimmy Johnson had to start 40th because he failed the pre-race inspection. So really remarkable. He went from 40th to 1st to win the championship. But I still think Carl Edwards was the car to beat, and he would have won the race had he not Logano hadn't gotten caught up. He went to block Logano, of course, and it ended up wrecking his maybe championship run. What a class act, though. I've always thought Carl Edwards was a good guy, and the way he handled himself last night was really remarkable, actually.
Yeah, Carl Edwards is a nice guy and a class act. He always has been. Hopefully he'll be able to get a championship one of these years, a couple of close calls. Logano's always going to be in the mix as well. You know, it was a weird playoff. You know, there was a lot of incidences and weird stuff that happened, but high drama to wrap up the season. And the beautiful thing about NASCAR, Steve, what's the off season? 4 days? They begin testing. Yeah. Yeah, we'll begin testing in 48 hours. We'll see you in 48 hours, guys. But all kidding aside, the Daytona 500 is February 26th.
And actually, you know, before the race yesterday, I put on Twitter what the real point standings would have been using the old format where you just take all the points throughout the season. And Kevin Harvick would have entered yesterday with a 25-point lead. And it really wouldn't have been close. Logano was 25 behind. Keselowski was 37 behind. They were the only two that would have even been alive yesterday in that race. So Harvick really, as far as I'm concerned, was the champion this season.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, that's it. Harvick was the most consistent. And like you said, Logano was second behind him with those 25 top 10 finishes. But they wanted to put an emphasis on winning. And I don't have a problem with the chase. It could use some tweaks. I'd like to see a road course tossed in there. But all in all, it was an entertaining NASCAR season. I just don't like the head-to-head stuff with the NFL. Texans and Raiders tonight. Theme of the week, actually. So you got the Raiders laying 6. Favorites were 10-3 straight up and 8-5 against the spread this week, Steve. Weather played havoc. Wind played havoc. So it was 11-2 to the under. Tonight we're in Mexico City, and I actually didn't check the weather in Mexico City tonight. You know, it's not going to be horrible, but it could be raining or something. Warman, if you can, in the booth, do a quick weather check in Mexico City. But the Texans have been horrible on the road, and it's a neutral game, but it's a road game.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, there's a big element with the weather, and it's not necessarily rain or wind. It's altitude and pollution. The air quality is not good in Mexico City. And the altitude is over 7,000 feet above sea level. Denver is only 5,000 feet. No other team in the NFL is more than 1,000. These two teams play at 50 feet above sea level. So the altitude is going to be an issue tonight. And these teams played there 11 years ago. The Cardinals had a game here, and McCown was the quarterback. And he said the ball just sailed on him and that it takes a little while to get used to it. You overthrow the receivers. That could hurt the over, obviously. However, the field goals are going to be longer. We got Janikowski, who's already kicked a 63-yarder in Mile High Stadium in his career, now in the even higher altitude. We could see the NFL field goal record broken tonight.
That's a great call, Steve. Thanks for reminding us about the altitude, actually. You know, it's something that I use a lot in capping for the UFC, Steve.
You know, they were there a few weeks ago, Gabe, and I think it was Ferguson said it was one of the toughest venues in all of UFC for them to compete in. These guys get gassed.
Oh, yeah, that's wiped out some fighters. Like, guys with good cardio they hit a wall. Like, they just hit a wall. Smart guys, Steve, like, will actually show up in Mexico City literally, like, 6 weeks before the fight.
They did. A lot of those guys were 4 to 6 weeks before.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. Point. Like, Fabricio Verdum won the heavyweight championship against Velasquez. Right. And Velasquez showed up like a week before type of deal. He was known for having great cardio. He gassed, and Verdum like lived in Mexico City for like 8 weeks because he knew. He was like, no, I knew I had to get really used to the altitude. And he said, you know, after 4 and 5 weeks, man, he was running more and he was, you know, you start to defeat it. You know, they figure, oh, it's a one-off. It's a good point. Yeah, if anything, I don't know, man. So what, are cars bombs going to go even further now?
Well, here's the thing, though. Neither team, like you said, the fighters go 4 to 6 weeks ahead of time. These two teams basically came in yesterday, and the Texans were told not to leave their hotel until tonight. I mean, that's how bad, like, the air quality is, the pollution. You can see the smog hanging over the city. You need an altitude mask, Gabe. I've got my altitude mask right here. This is set on 12,000 feet right now.
What, you got a bump?
I'm going to do this show with 12,000 feet.
12,000 feet for the rest of the show.
You strike me as a survivalist, Merrill. You got a bunker back there in Virginia, too?
That's what those MMA guys use, man. You ask your martial arts guys.
Them training with that stuff. I like it.
Yeah, and Curry actually did a commercial the other week. I saw Stephon Curry in a shoe commercial wearing one finally. So these NFL guys, Sean Lynch has one, too, I saw a couple years ago. But, yeah, it's a serious factor. I mean, that altitude hits you. I use that thing at 12,000 feet, but I started it at 3,000 feet a year ago, and that even took some getting used to. And they're at 7,000 feet tonight, and you can't take the mask off at 7,000 feet.
Look, Brock Osweiler played in Denver, and, you know, the Raiders play in Denver often, right? So it's something, but you're right. I don't know. Who's the deeper team? Who's the more conditioned team? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a wash. I think the one thing maybe with the passing early on, and that could affect the Raiders a little bit more because they throw the ball more. The defensive dog, obviously. I think in a toss-up game like this, getting 6 is kind of tempting with all the uncertainty.
It really is. I wanted to, Steve. My confidence a little rattled. We only got 1 minute, unfortunately. My confidence a little rattled. But the Texans on the road, they got pasted by Minnesota. They got killed by New England. Yeah, you beat Jackson, big deal. It's just been a constant failure on the road with the Texans. I just don't trust Osweiler to keep up, ultimately. I don't love the six, but I like where you're going with that, Steve. The best bet of the night, it's funny, because the long field goal prop in one book, and I'm a big long field goal guy. One book, I saw it 43.5, and I'm like,
I was wondering if they'd even offer it.
Yeah, but it was -160.
And then, that's because I
thought the same thing. I'm like, altitude, Janikowski. Normally, the average is 44.5, Steve. Another book was 47.5. So let's see where that middle ground is. But I think we're on to something. Long field goal is the best bet of the night.
I agree with you. The altitude, he got a huge kicker with Janikowski and an offensive team in Oakland. So I agree.
All right, Steve, we got to get out of here. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us. Dick Stockton joins us next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. It's our pleasure and our honor to welcome in one of the greatest play-by-play men and broadcasters ever to call a game. That's why he's a Naismith Hall of Famer. That's why he's been voted one of the top 50 play-by-play men and broadcasters of all time. And that's why he's still doing what he does at an elite level. It's our pleasure to welcome Mr. Dick Stockton from Fox Sports to Game Time Decisions. Dick, it's always a pleasure, sir. How are you doing today?
Gabe, I'm doing well. It's good to be on with you and your audience there.
Well, first things first, I just want to say great job with Chris Spielman last week. And I got to tell you, Dick, and I say this as a diehard Michigan fan, I don't know if there's anyone that I respect more than Chris Spielman. As a football player, as a man, and as a broadcaster, just a consummate professional and a class act.
Well, you know, I happen to agree with you. And, you know, he wanted to go to Michigan first, you know. He went home, and I'm sure you know the story. He told his dad he's going to Michigan, and his dad said, over my dead body. And so then he went to Ohio State. But originally he wanted to go to Michigan. But I have to agree with you that he is a tremendous guy, a great acquisition by Fox to get him to be one of the top analysts. And I think he is one of the best analysts I have ever worked with because he has the ability to be on top of the game, know what he's seeing, and look ahead. Most guys in football is a tough thing. Baseball, of course, is built for looking ahead, you know. Runners at first and second, what are you going to do? You're going to bunt? What are you going to, you know, what's the shift? It's always looking to what's now. Football, though, has a tendency of looking to what happened. How did we get to this point? Let's look at that last play. But Chris has an unusual ability to really think about what may be coming up and what's ahead, which is, I think, the viewers really want.
Who is the most prepared? Who, like, works the hardest? Who's the most prepared? Maybe like, you know, to the point where he's like over preparing, because some guys, and we can fall into this trap in this industry, Dick, where it's never enough. You can never be ready enough, right? But at some point you have to let it fly. But who's like the biggest workaholic prep guy you ever worked with?
Well, you know what, most of the guys, you know, are that way. Troy Aikman, of course, will spend all day on third Friday and Saturday looking at film. I think that you look at all of the ones that are at the top of the field, and you'll see that they prepare very well. And preparation is just really a foundation or a guideline, because it's not based on preparation. It's based on reaction. So how does a good TV commentator react to what's going on? That's the real test to me.
What do you think of today's broadcasters? And you know, Syracuse, which you're an alum of, Syracuse has sort of become that factory. And it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. But at the same point in time, it seems like a lot of today's broadcasters, Dick, sort of sound the same. Is there enough personality with today's guys? Or are they allowed to have personality? Seems like the storytelling is a thing of the past. What is the state of today's like broadcasting? Like you wouldn't be told, like, I doubt that Fox would tell you, you know, we sort of like a game to be called this way. Younger broadcasters are sort of happy to be there, so they're going to go with what, you know, the suits tell them to do. What do you think of the modern state of the new crop of broadcasters that are coming out, Dick?
Well, first let me tell you, Gabe, that no network ever, ever, ever has told anyone how they want them to do the game. I can attest to that. I've known guys from every network. No one tells you ever how you should do a game, okay? So it's strictly up to you. And so no one tells you what you should or shouldn't do, and no one really comments on that. That you just go and do your job.
Has one league ever called you more than another? Is like are certain commissioners or leagues stricter than others?
I've never gotten a call in my life from any team owner, team general manager, commissioner, or network person about anything I did on any broadcast. That's over 40 years.
I guess that's a good thing. Unless you're getting an invite to dinner or golf, I guess it's a good thing you never got the call, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But no one gets called. I mean, people think they're told what to do. They're not told what to do. Now, as far as today's broadcasters are concerned, I think they're very talented. I think they learned to do play-by-play maybe a lot earlier than I did when I did it. I belong to a certain school of thought that when you're doing television, especially television, and that is you have pictures and you have sound, and let them play because that, you can't beat that. And so I sometimes think that play-by-play announcers may talk too much and may give you minutiae or facts about things that are definitely valid but may not be necessary. And I think what happens is, when that happens, you're not really listening to anything they're saying because they're just going on and they're just saying things and you accept them. But I love the style of Pat Summerall that many of your listeners may remember. He was a man of few words. Pat Summerall just said what needed to be said. And was concise.
His calls,
I thought
that
Dick, was the greatest thing of all.
His calls in my head, I think of Pat Summerall, and I just hear two words, touchdown Cowboys. And he just said right. It. Yeah, there was no touchdown Cowboys, just touchdown Cowboys.
Well,
just,
he didn't have to yell because he had a great voice. So we could say touchdown Cowboys, and you got the idea. So his enthusiasm came in the strength of his voice. But you know, I don't believe that you should talk over the crowd yelling. I don't think you should yell. I don't think you should describe things when the pictures and the sounds. There's nothing you can say that is better than that. And you mentioned personality. I think the personality comes in. I think all the good ones, Al Michaels has a personality. They all have personalities in their own right. But they're not trying to be funny or cute because that's not their job. They're not trying to take away from the enjoyment of the game, just add to it. But I think, I think that if you just do to what you are true to and do what you feel is correct, that's fine. But when you talk all the time, I think you can kind of turn off people.
We're in conversation with broadcasting legend Dick Stockton. So, Dick, let's switch gears here and talk a little NFL football specifically. The Dallas Cowboys, this thing's becoming real, isn't it? Like, week after week, I believe in them, and I believe in Dak Prescott. I believe in that offensive line, but I keep waiting for a speed bump to occur, yet they're speeding right down the freeway right now. There's no speed bumps.
There will be. I guarantee you that. There will be a speed bump. There will be a speed bump. My experience is that when you're going too well, even to this point, it's going to be tough to sustain. And I love Jason Garrett. One of my favorite people. I agree with you totally in what Prescott has done, what Elliott has done. I agree with you. It's the best offensive line in football. But there always comes that game, and we saw it with even Carolina last year. There always comes that game where someone now is going into the back room and they're going to say, what are we going to do to just to upset the apple cart for 1 week? And when you get into postseason, all you need is one time where that happens and you're done. And I happen to think that as great as that offensive line is, Dak Prescott has been phenomenal. He's still a rookie. And it would be a shock if that rookie were, to get the job done. I don't personally at this point, I think Seattle would be a better team. I think they have more experience. Everyone looks at the teams with the best record right now. I'm sure you thought Minnesota at 5-0.
Yeah.
They were going places. This was the best team. Well, you know what happened. So I think that Dallas is going to have some shortcomings. Yes, they can win, but I don't know if they will, because it's very hard with a rookie quarterback.
And it'll be so magnified, won't it? And that's what I've been waiting for, too. How will they react to the adversity? Because it won't take long, rightfully or wrongfully. So they lose a game or two. Maybe Romo. Maybe they should put Romo in right now. I've always said it. It's a line Randy Cross has said. You're the guy till you're not the guy. You've been around a long time, Dick. Stuff changes in a hurry. Hell, Tony Romo might end up playing this year if Dak gets hurt. Like the script. The book is there's still so much left. You mentioned Seattle. Seattle, a very dangerous football team right now. I would agree. But I wanted to get your take because I've heard people talking about Tom Brady being the greatest ever. And I think in our modern society, Dick, there's always a rush to anoint people as the greatest ever. Justin Bieber might have sold more records in a week than the Beatles, but it doesn't mean he's better than the Beatles, right? So records are kind of skewed nowadays. Oh, 300 yards passing, etc. Well, we're in a pass-happy era. But do you think it's true to say that Tom Brady's starting to belong in this conversation? Like, you know, I grew up in the 70s watching, so I saw the Bradshaws, you know, and then into the Montanas. I'm more of an 80s child than anything, Dick. But I can't really think of anyone that was better for longer and more consistent than Tom Brady. Who's the best quarterback that you've called?
Tom Brady.
He is, really, huh?
Well, I'll tell you what. You can look at a lot of different guys, and there have been a lot of great quarterbacks. And you know who they are. We don't have to go list them all. And I would say that the thing about Tom Brady, and I'm the last guy that anoints guys today, because I've seen 50 years of this stuff, okay?
Yeah.
I remember, you know, I was a kid when Otto Graham was quarterbacking the Cleveland Browns to 5 straight NFL championships, okay? And I saw Johnny Unitas and Elway and all the rest, and I've seen them all. But the thing about Tom Brady that impresses me the most is that his team hasn't always had the best defense. Now, I know Bradshaw did. And I would defy anyone to name 10 receivers and running backs that Tom Brady has had over the years, okay? So he has not been blessed with the greatest talent in those areas by far. I'm not saying they weren't talented, but they certainly weren't the best. And maybe offensive line as well, whatever it was. But I think Tom Brady, and I'm saying this today, I would say that looking at everything, Tom Brady may be the best quarterback who ever played the game.
Before we let you go, sir, can you tell us about a podcast project that you're working on that I'm really looking forward to? You're going new school here, Dick. I love it. New school podcast.
Well, you know
Dick
what?
Stockton.
It's the thing. It's the thing. Thank you, Gabe. It's the thing for me to do now. It's going to be called Stockton. Be looking for it in the next week or 10 days or whatever. It's going to be called Stockton. And by the way, you can see blogs that I write every week on dstockton.com. That's my website, okay? And I write blogs every week, and there's all kinds of things that, you know, in my days of doing play-by-play here, I'm expanding my role a little bit. There are a lot of things I have to say, a lot of observations I've made from years in the business, over 4 decades, that I can tie in. I have opinions and thoughts, not just on football, not just on baseball, but on all the sports that I have covered over the years. And so Stockton is going to be a podcast that I think your listeners are going to really enjoy. Be on the lookout for that, you know, on your iTunes, and see what we have to do. And it's going to be interesting. For example, how do we put a broadcast on? I'm sure a lot of you people would like to know, how does a broadcast get on the air? What are the best uniforms? What are the uniforms that teams wear in sports that I like or dislike? Okay? There are just all kinds of an array of thoughts that I have over this vast world of sports opinion that are going to be on that podcast. And so I really would like you and I'd like your listeners to get on board and check it out when it starts pretty soon.
DStockton.com is Dick's website for all the information and links to the podcast. I can't wait, sir. And I look forward to having you back on to talk about how the podcast is going, and we'll talk some NBA basketball and everything else. Thanks for the time, sir.
Thank you, Gabe. It's great to be on with you. Thank you.
There's Dick Stockton with his great stuff, man. This guy actually called Carlton Fisk's 1975 shot, all right? Like, pretty cool, man. It's tough in a limited time time frame that we have, though. All right, we're going to be quick. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Jason Braddock, we're going to take a look at tonight's Monday Nighter. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Thanks to Dick Stockton for joining us on the program. Great stuff with Dick Stockton, who says, you know what? Tom Brady, and in fact, is the greatest quarterback ever to play in the National Football League. I hate the greatest ever stuff. I hate it. Because most of the people saying this are a bunch of, like, dumb kids. That, like, they don't know anything. They haven't watched anything. Like, they don't watch film. They don't know the history. They don't know anything about anything. And they're telling you someone's the greatest ever. You know, oh, yeah, Elliott's better than Emmitt Smith now. Oh, he's better than Tony Dorsett. Yeah, I know. He's 9 games into his career. He's the best. But Tom Brady, and I was thinking about this yesterday, actually. I was like, you know, what quarterback ever has there ever been? Like, you know, I watched Joe Montana play, all right? I watched Joe Montana's entire career. Joe Montana isn't as good as Tom Brady. He wasn't. Like, in fact, it's not even close, all right? Like, we'll put it that way. Yeah, the Super Bowls. And, you know, Dick Stockton raised a great point. You know, Tom Brady, look at the Green Bay Packers, full of excuses all the time. Oh, Jordy Nelson is out. Oh, the linebacker is out. Look at the New England Patriots. You know, who do they have, man? Tom Brady's a Hall of Famer throwing the football to Troy Brown. All right, let's get to another video, and then Jason Braddock is going to step up and in. This is from Dane Martinez from Sports Guru, and you can check him out right here on the Fantasy Sports Network Radio Networks. So I understand Dane's pretty pissed off. What's up, Dane?
Yo, what's going on, sports gurus? This is Speeds, this is Fitting Statistician. I got to talk about who ruined your Sunday in week 11. First of all, it might have been the black unicorn, Martellus Bennett. Everybody thought he was going to have a big game with no Gronk for the Patriots. Only one catch for 14 yards. Or it might have been the Cincinnati Bengals. You might have been counting on a few Bengals in your season-long league. But Giovanni Bernard out, torn ACL. A.J. Green out with a torn hamstring. All about ending the Cincinnati Bengals playoff hopes. But you know who ruined my Sunday? All those field goal kickers that missed extra points. There were 12 missed extra points last week in week 11, most all time, and we still got a game to go. But really, it was Robbie Gould for me. Giants won 22-16. I had him at 6.5-point favorites. He missed not one, but two extra points. You ruined my day, Robbie Gould. You ruined my Sunday. Check it out. To hear more, all you got to do is download that Sports Guru app. You can hear more from me, Speeds the Spitting Statistician, on Shot Callers on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And always check out Gabe Morency on Game Time Decisions. That's me. I'm out.
You know what, Speeds? I feel your pain, man. I feel your pain. Like, I really do. I like the shot where you are, too. Like, if it was me, I'd just sort of, like, plunge off after. I'm out. Just fall off the cliff. I said it earlier, the extra points. No, who is demanding this? Who said in the last couple of years, you know what really sucks about the NFL? The extra points. All you're doing is screwing with gamblers right now. Let's bring in Jason Braddock. Jason, it's always a pleasure joining us from Houston, Texas, a beautiful city. Jason, always a pleasure, man. How you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I've had better. I hate Mondays, Jason. I like Mondays when I win a lot of money, man. Remember the song Boomtown Rats? Tell me why you don't like Mondays. That's what my Monday's like. It's like I'm going to school again. Like, I hate Mondays now, Jason.
It sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Yeah, somebody's got a case of betting on the Green Bay Packers too much. That's what somebody's got a case of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you gotta find a cure for that real quick.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're right. Like I said earlier, Jason, I'm like Donald Trump. I can't resist tweeting, even though I'm president. Like, I got to still tweet. I can't resist betting on the Packers for some reason. I'm not even a Packer fan. But nevertheless, so tonight's game perplexes me, Jason. The point spread is 6. The Raiders are favored by 6 points. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Everyone says the Houston Texans suck. Everybody says Brock Osweiler's terrible. Yet they're not a 3-6 team. They're a 6-3 football team. They've won 6 games this year. But then you dig deeper, 3 of them against the division. And then I dig a little bit deeper, and I can't erase the fact that every time the Texans go on the road, they get killed. Now, this isn't a road game, by say. It's a neutral venue, but it's a road game because they're not playing at home this week. The Texans are a weird team to they're a hard team to cap, and they're a perplexing team, aren't they, Jason?
They definitely are. And even though it's not a true road game, like you said, it's still a road game. And in road games, Houston's 1-3 and Oakland's 5-0. So everything stacks in Oakland's favor for this game, besides Jacksonville, who anybody can basically beat Jacksonville. And Houston barely pulled out a 3-point win over the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road. Their other three road games against decent to good teams, New England against a third-string quarterback, lost by 27 points. Against Minnesota, lost by 18 points. Against Denver with Trevor Siemian, lost by 18 points. This is a highly potent offense that the Oakland Raiders have. They're great on the road. If it's me, I'm going with Oakland. The -6, I think the Raiders come out with a double-digit win in this game.
You know what's most alarming to me in those losses? Because, listen, it's going to happen. You're going to go on the road. You're going to get blown out every once in a while. The wheels will fall off. You pack up the tent and, you go back home. Yet it's constant with Houston. And it's been a pattern over the years in which, dare I say, they quit, Jason. Like the Texans, if they are down big in a game, they will quit. I know they came back against the Colts earlier this year. That was different. It was Sunday Night Football. I was at home, and the Colts were terrible lining up 20 yards off the line of scrimmage. I could have led that comeback back. And you and I talked about that the next day after that game. But if you notice that, Jason, that they have quit when they get down in the past.
They do. They've dumbed down this offense so much for Brock Osweiler. When Osweiler got here, they treated him like a franchise quarterback and tried to give him the offense, and they found out rather quickly that he can't run the entirety of the offense. When they signed Brock Osweiler, I called it the Matt Flynn 2.0 signing. You go from a user-friendly offense like what Gary Kubiak has. Let's rewind a little bit of time here to when Kubiak was the head coach in Houston. Matt Schaub almost threw for 4,800 yards in that offense. It's a user-friendly offense. Now you take that and you put them in a very complex offense where the wide receivers, which they had two rookies getting a lot of playing time, a new quarterback, a new running back, and there's so many option routes that you have to be on the same page. And it's a more complicated offense than what Brock Osweiler was playing under and succeeding, or somewhat succeeding in, with Gary Kubiak. And now they've dumbed it down to the point where it's smoke and mirrors like what they had with Brian Hoyer and Ryan Malik and Ryan Fitzpatrick. They can run the ball against this Raiders team. Brock Osweiler has already shown that he can't take advantage of a bad pass defense. And while the Texans have a quality pass defense, they're horrible against the run. And the Raiders have a three-headed monster in Latavius Murray and the two young guys, DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard. I think the Raiders dictate the action in this game.
Yeah, it's pretty clear that Brock, this is a two-year deal, and it's going to be a two-year deal. Can they get out of it, like, after this year? As you mentioned, listen, he threw for 99 yards last week, 9 interceptions on the year. Only two quarterbacks have a worse QB rating, and they're both benched, Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's not bad right now. He's averaging a paltry 5.6 yards per pass attempt. As you stated, they had expectations of him airing it out and throwing the ball down the field to Hopkins. And instead, they got to babysit him and hope for the best. It's a freaking train wreck. But you and I don't want to get you in trouble, man, but Bill O'Brien ain't listening right now. Don't worry, Jason. I know you've been critical of this, but then O'Brien's supposed to be this QB guru. Well, it looks like to me the Kubiak's the guru. Because he won with Osweiler. He's winning with Siemian. Like, he can coach these guys. And now, just to make it worse, I nearly fell off my chair last week when I heard O'Brien say they made the right call in passing on Derek Carr. Yeah, because Ryan Mallett, Fitzpatrick, Tom Savage, Yates, and every other stiff that they've had there is all better than Derek Carr. Like, it's when he says stuff like this, I imagine your phone lines must, like, heat up with people going, what, is our coach an idiot? No, you didn't make the right mistake. You didn't make the right call. And I guess they didn't do it, Jason, because of David Carr, right?
That's the big factor with it. Derek Carr, like you said, he said that they didn't really reach out to him during the draft process. And you don't have to worry about getting me in hot water with the Houston Texans team or Bill O'Brien. We have a rocky relationship as it is. Because as you know, Gabe, I'm going to tell you like it is, and they've already threatened to pull the credentials a couple times. So it doesn't affect me one bit at all. I'm going to tell you what I see out there. And as far as the fan base and their feeling when they heard those comments about Derek Carr, you know, taking Xavier Suofilo, a decent to bad guard in the NFL over a franchise quarterback. It's probably like most fan bases where half of the fan base eats the soup and it could be the worst soup in the world and you tell them it's great and they're going to believe it's great soup and other people are going to just throw it on the ground and know that it's garbage. So Bill O'Brien's words have been falling on deaf ears in the media and the fan base for quite some time now. You talked about the quarterback guru label. That's been shattered down here in Houston as well as Ryan Fitzpatrick in his first year after leaving O'Brien's offense. He goes and has probably his best year in the NFL with the Jets last year. Then Brian Hoyer goes up to Chicago his first year after leaving O'Brien and has his best year in the NFL with, like, what, three or four straight 300 passing games, two touchdowns, no interceptions in three straight games. And so, yeah, that label's been shattered. These guys are doing better after they leave O'Brien than when they're with them.
That's a great point. I know, I'm just thinking, if Kirk Cousins was in Houston, he'd be Brock Osweiler right now. He's with Gruden throwing bombs for touchdowns. Thanks, Jason. We got to get out of here. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, thank you, Gabe.
There's Jason Braddock with us from Houston. Says Raiders win by double digits. We come back with our plays of the day. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. This is a perplexing football game tonight, isn't it? Generally, I don't like laying 6 points. The game's on a neutral field. But what have Houston done every time they've left the cozy confines of Reliant Stadium? They've gotten their ass handed to them, or is it Energy Stadium, whatever the hell it's called. They don't win. Yeah, you beat Jacksonville last week. Good for you. Brock Osweiler threw for 99 freaking yards. I like the Raiders tonight. I don't think Houston's going to be able to keep up. It's going to be a madhouse in Azteca Stadium. It's going to be a ton of Raider fans. This game should creep over the number. The Raiders' defense is no good, all right? So even though Brock Osweiler sucks, you guys should be able to put up 17 points, maybe 20 points. Raiders should be able to get into the 30 range. We're going to 7-point tease the Raiders to the over. I think there's going to be some sacks in this football game, man. Brock Osweiler is not exactly the most mobile quarterback back there. And the Texans have a good pass rush. Let's go over the 4.5 sacks. We got some field goal props for you here. Depending on your book, man, I've seen it as low as 43.5 and as high as 47.5. Find it at 44.5 or so. Either way, it's going to be high field goal over. A lot of field goals tonight, over 3.5 field goals. NBA basketball, horrible spot for the Raptors tonight, but we're getting 9 freaking points, man. Give me the 9 points with the Raps, and we'll wrap it up with some college basketball. Cal's at SDSU. We're going to take the 5.5 and go over 129. May the winners be yours.